You're listening to This Naked Mind with Annie Griss.
Hi, this is Annie Grace, and welcome to This Naked Mind podcast. And I'm here with Haley. Hi, Haley. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very, very excited to be here. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm so glad to have you on. So why don't you take us back to the beginning in your journey with alcohol? Where did it all start for you?
Oh, goodness. I know. I'm going to have to try to stay focused on my story. I was thinking about it before and I'm like, I should write it out. And then I'm like, no, because I'm a say how I feel and in the moment person. But if I go all the way back, it was grade eight graduation. You know, I started drinking. We drank together because it was a celebration. It's what people do. And I can still remember the horrid taste of Smirnoff raspberry vodka and not really knowing what we were doing, having a drink, celebrating grade eight grad. And I remember being so sick the next morning before, for anyone in Canada, going to Canada's Wonderland, like a huge theme park. And I remember being so sick. And now I look back, right? And I'm like, oh, that, why didn't you see that and feel that and turn in the other direction? And it wasn't until years later, like I reflect so often because of coaching, because of being a part of This Naked Mind, I reflect all the time. And I didn't really realize I drank because other people were drinking, but I drank so much for acceptance. That was a huge theme throughout my entire life. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. So that went on throughout high school. You know, it's what you do, college, it's what you do. And I would reflect back and I had this, it was interesting. I would not think that I was quite as intoxicated as I was. To me, I'm like, I was good. It was fine. And people be like, Haley, how are you feeling the next day? And I would get that, you know, that feeling in your stomach that you're like, yeah, I probably had too many. Or people would say, oh, like, have you been drinking? No. And I, you know, in my mind, I'm like, I'm playing it cool. I'm fine. I have it all together, which was not the case. And my mom drank my entire life growing up. She had alcohol use disorder. She drank wine. And I know there's so many people I can relate to where I said, that will never be me. That's not going to be me. And I didn't get into drinking wine. So I, you know, in my mind, I was like, loophole, I'm not drinking wine. So I'm skirting around it as if not knowing, right? I didn't know what I didn't know, but all alcohol is addictive. I'm maybe on a different track, but I'm going the same direction. So she struggled her entire life into college. It's hard to reflect on because I would become like Jekyll and Hyde, and I can look back and my personality would switch. And the weirdest thing was, and again, this was upon reflection, that all of a sudden I realized it was even to my friends, like the people that I loved and admired, who had qualities that I saw as being like ambitious or amazing that I was in awe of. All of a sudden, if I was drinking, that dark part of me, that insecure version would come out, and that would be the person that I would take aim on. And I would never understand it at the time because I'm like, that is so out of character. That's not something I would do, not drinking. But it was this part of me that was so insecure that would rise to the surface every time. And then I went through this phase of going to raves, going to different parties, and was introduced to cocaine and thought, now I'm not messy. Like now I'm not falling over, thinking I found this winning combination. I'm not sloppy. This is great. I can stay up. I have high tolerance. As if high tolerance is like, that's the badge of honor, right? So thinking that I found this winning combination, again, I went through a phase like in my late 20s. I was always seeking something outside of myself. I was always seeking acceptance from other people. I thrived on external validation. It was a recipe essentially for just completely losing my sense of identity. I had no idea at that point in time how far I had drifted from who I was as a person. I wasn't leading by values. I hadn't been my authentic self in I don't know how long. So during that time, when I was a kid growing up, my mom had alcohol use disorder. And as I said, right, that will never be me. Classic. And I remember I've watched your videos, right? When you've had like when your kid had sat on your lap or mommy, like I can smell. And I remember being that kid. And I remember saying those things to my mom and she passed away 5 years ago. She ended up developing early onset dementia, and then breast cancer, an aggressive form of cancer in her tongue. But it's, I hear so many stories within coaching. I hear your story talking about it. And had I not gone through my experience and my struggle, I never would have understood or been able to reach this place of understanding and acceptance. I understand her more after not even being able to have these conversations with her, but going through my own story. So as her health was declining, I didn't realize at the time that I leaned heavily into alcohol and cocaine as a coping mechanism. I didn't realize the things that I was trying to escape. And there was many factors, but looking back, I leaned into the wrong tools. I went with the tools that I had. And yeah, my train came off the tracks at an alarming speed. I lost jobs. I lost my license. I caused myself a traumatic brain injury. And all of those things, I remember, I also had an amazing family. Like, my dad is the most supportive person. I remember him talking to me in the most supportive tone and just saying, like, you know, what's the point going to be? Like, where is this? How far can you go? You know, you can't be happy. And I was like, I'm not happy. And I said, do you think I wake up and want to drink? And he was like, I don't know. And it was days later that we ended up talking, and I actually asked him to read this Naked Mind, and that's a whole lot. I'll get to that part of it. But he said that was a huge aha moment for me when you said, do you actually think, like, do you think I want to be doing this? Because he's like, I did. He's like, I didn't know. He's like, I didn't know how to help. I didn't know what questions to ask. But if you're choosing to do that on a daily basis, by the end of it was every day. He's like, I didn't know. So just being able to open up those conversations was amazing. But, and it's so hard to look back on and say, like, even as I watched it take my mom's health while I visited her, after having a traumatic brain injury, having those rock bottom moments. And I'll always, like, the reason that I share my story is because I don't want people to think that they have to hit a rock bottom to reevaluate your relationship with alcohol. You don't have to. And you can do it for any reason that you want to. I would encourage you, if you have that intuition or feeling. I had it so many times in my stomach wanting to change, but not believing I could, and being so absolutely terrified of the idea of starting over, as opposed to looking at it as an opportunity to rebuild or to rediscover who I was, to take that chance on myself and know that I was worth it. But I would just shove that intuition down, and it came so clearly into my mind, like, Haley, your luck's going to run out. This has to stop. And I would just keep going. And so after all of those experiences, that wasn't the catalyst for change. It was waking up one morning it was a hangover, if I'll be honest, but that wasn't it. The overwhelming desire to change. And I knew of someone who had gone to a detox center nearby. That was all I knew at this point in time. I hadn't come into contact with this Naked Mind. I didn't even know Quitlet was a thing. This was back in 2018. I didn't know that this world existed, because I wasn't looking for those things. I wasn't looking for tools to help me change. I had tunnel vision at that point in time. So I called a place and off I went, terrified. But I can't even explain the feeling when I woke up. The way that I would describe it is like a spiritual awakening of suddenly, like, this is my moment. I don't know how this is going to look. And I remember waking up the next day and kind of asking, like, I don't even know how long you're supposed to be here. What's going on? I remember having a belly laugh for the first time. And I don't even know. It felt foreign in my body, like, startled me, but to the point where I was so taken aback by my emotion and my ability to feel and just feel like myself again was the most amazing thing. And so I asked them, I'm like, when do I stay here? When do I go? And they're like, you can go. And I was like, oh, already? They're like, yeah. And I was like, okay. And it just so happened that in a few days was going to be the 1 month anniversary of my mom passing away. And I said, I can go. Like, if you need the space. But I'm just with that coming up, I just kind of wanted to protect where I was at. So I went, I was asked if I wanted to try an AA meeting and I was like, I'm not sure. And there was a few opinions from people and I was like, I'm here, I'll just go. And to be able to go into a room where people speak without judgment, and that community element, right, is like, the thing for me personally speaking, and again, like I'll never bash anything, any resources, oh my gosh, amazing, life-changing for anyone. There was something not in alignment with sticking a label. It's like my body had a response that just, like, I'm comfortable sitting here talking. I can say, oh, it things got bad. Me and alcohol are not best friends. But to just label didn't feel right to me. And I can say it's a page in my story. It's more like a chapter, a few chapters. But it's not my entire identity. So to put that out there as like, that's who I am, felt really, it made me shrink, I guess. It just didn't align. So amazing. Again, awesome resource. And I knew within 2 days that the feeling I felt, I wanted to be able to help other people feel that way. And it was so early, right? Like, and in my mind, I'm like, oh, is that the pink cloud that people warn you about or anything? But I genuinely knew I'm going to help people. I don't know the how. I can figure that out later. This is what I'm going to end up doing. I don't know what it is I'm going to end up doing. Help people find this freedom and joy. Coming out of such a dark place mentally after I had my traumatic brain injury in 2017, when I thought about having to think about alcohol or to have a struggle for the rest of my life was the most overwhelming and daunting thought. I did not want to do that anymore. And that put me into a very, very dark place. The idea of having to fight with this internal battle, that cognitive dissonance every single day, it was suffocating, completely suffocating. And the idea and concept that like it can genuinely be something that you don't even think about. It's like a lamp or a fixture. Like it's a thing. It's nothing. It's that small and irrelevant. I would have said that's not possible. So I'll try to like Reader's Digest it because I went for a year. Amazing. I was so, so happy. Felt genuine joy. Didn't even think about it. Wasn't a thing. And then approaching that year. So this again is before I learned what I learned. This Naked Mind, reading This Naked Mind, I was like, alcohol is a dressed up cigarette. That's what I came out of that. I was like, I see it as a cigarette and I've never smoked. So I hadn't read that. And around a year, some of those intrusive thoughts started coming in because I went through a year, no cravings, no triggers. I was like, no, I'm not interested. I'm happy. What would the point be? But because there was no cravings or triggers and I hadn't brought in any new information, I was like, well, I could have one or two if I wanted to, not because I need to, but because I want to. And sure enough, I was like, yeah, okay. Ended up having a drink. The worst part is I didn't even like the taste. Very aware right away. I was like, oh, that's not good. But immediately it was, for me personally, it was an immediate regression. It wasn't like a slow, you know, the pitcher plant, like I was right back in. So that lasted for around 7 months. And again, like now going through This Naked Mind and knowing that there's that shame, the tool of shame in my mind, it was, Haley, you just did this. What the hell's wrong with you? You just did a year. You know, you can do it. And beating myself up instead of coming from a place of compassion. So again, I stayed there for 7 months. Again, woke up with that overwhelming anxiety and just knowing like, this isn't who I want to be. This isn't who I have to be. You just, you know what joy feels like, and that's freedom for you. And we can do that again. We're going to do that again. It was actually my boyfriend who was like, you know, like maybe you got to talk to someone. And I have no idea what I put into my phone to come across you. So at that point, I signed up for the alcohol experiment. I don't think I read, I think I did, it was like 5 days in, and immediately I was like, oh, this is the how. This is where I'm supposed to be. And even when I had originally, like within the 2 days, and I was like, I'm going to help people. I know I'm going to help people. But one of my biggest tools throughout that year was my mindset and my thinking. And so before coming into contact with This Naked Mind, I was like, well, how am I supposed to tell people you can profoundly change your life with your thinking? Like, that's where it is. And then all of a sudden, I'm doing the alcohol experiment. I read the book, I learn about you, and I'm like, this is how. This is it. You truly can change your life by changing your thinking. You change your thinking, you change your drinking, like all of these things. So to me, when I found This Naked Mind was like another way of coming home. It felt like it was all there, and in alignment with everything that I had just experienced within a year. So it was felt very much like synchronicity to me, which is amazing. So thank you for that.
Great.
So yeah, it was after that, and then I really didn't look back. I did the 30 days, and then I would see, the coach training come through, and I knew that I was meant to be within this world. But it's interesting because going back and looking at alcohol and cocaine, like those were the two things that I thought would never leave my mind. And I see so many different posts and so many different spaces where people are like, and it's a struggle every day. And I just want to be able to be a part of the message and be a messenger that like that doesn't have to be the case. That isn't the case. And it was interesting. It was after, again, coming into contact with This Naked Mind, someone asked me, like, what was your belief when you decided to drink again? So going back after that year, I didn't know about like diving into my beliefs. I didn't know about getting curious about where these thoughts are coming from, like dial into how you're feeling. I just thought, I believe I can. So someone asked me, what was your belief? And I was like, I believed that I could moderate. And everyone has a different journey, and I completely respect all of that. Now, knowing what I know, I don't want to. Like, now that I've learned everything that I've learned, I said, that's my belief. And they said, no, you, if there was something positive that you thought would happen or something that you felt you were missing out on, like there was a reason that you drank again. And I was like, I don't think so. I'm like, I believed I could. And like, we ended the call because I was like, I don't know. And at that point in time, I was more introduced to sitting with your thoughts and just letting it be there and be curious about it. And knowing, I learned that sometimes we look for an answer and it might not be there at that moment. But if you just continue to gently be curious, it's amazing what will pop up. And like 2 weeks later, laying in bed, it's like 10 or 11. And all of a sudden I shot up and I was like, oh my gosh, I figured I have my answer. And it was because at the time I didn't want to be the girl who couldn't or shouldn't drink. So that place of ego, call it whatever. that's what it was. I didn't want to be that girl. So I don't know if I was trying to prove that to myself or other people, but I completely reframed that. I'm like, I'm the girl who doesn't want to or doesn't need to. And that I wear like a badge of honor. It used to be like, oh, I have high tolerance, which wasn't, no. Now it's like, I don't need to, I don't want to, I'm completely content. And to find that comfort in your own skin after years of people pleasing, years of looking to other people for external validation, like I would never trade it for anything. And that took time. Like when I originally stopped drinking, I poured myself into self-help books and podcasts about self-love because I had no idea who I was. I stayed in unhealthy relationships because I was more afraid to go back out on my own than realizing like I wasn't in a good, healthy place. I was afraid of everything. Fear was a really big, really big theme. But instead of looking at it as starting over, it's getting to begin again or getting to rediscover who you are. Take the pieces that you love find other pieces and build yourself into the version of who you want to be. But at the time, being in that space of shame and fear, and I had so much shame too, like coming from my family's amazing. I felt like I shouldn't have this problem. So there was also that guilt. But when it came down to being able to reframe thinking I was the girl who couldn't or shouldn't drink into, I don't want to or need to, it went from like disempowered to empowered thinking, which really helped me. And it also, I identified a story in my mind, and our brains are fascinating. We met when I wasn't drinking. He had never said a word about it, like fully supportive, great, healthy relationship, first one ever, because I went into it as a healthy person. He had never said anything, but out of a space of insecurity, I all of a sudden realized I was nervous that he wouldn't want to introduce his girlfriend who doesn't drink. Mm-hmm. He had never said it. He had never alluded to it. That wasn't even a thing. He was fully supportive. But out of my space of insecurity, I came up with this whole story. So that, and being the girl who couldn't or shouldn't drink, and identifying those things and being able to turn them around, I can look at the time I thought these are mistakes, this is the worst, that, you know, the guilt and shame are going to bury me. And now I look at every single experience as something that I was able to learn from. There was a lesson within every single thing. And I never thought I would say that or look back and say I was grateful for any of the things that happened, but I truly am in a space where I'm grateful for all of it.
Wow, that's so cool, Haley. Wow. And how amazing that just like so early on with that like belly laugh and that just sense of feeling like, I don't know how, but I feel like I'm supposed to help people do this. And just having that so early, I think that's so cool.
Yeah, it's so hard to explain because sometimes I'm like, I know it probably, and at the time I was like, I'm not telling anyone that because they're going to say like, Haley, it's been 2 days. And I'm like, I know, but I knew it was like this core knowing. And that it was the same thing with everything with This Naked Mind that just dropped in and all clicked that I'm like, I just knew. And as someone who ignored their intuition multiple times when my intuition was trying to warn me of things, now when I listen to it and lean into it, it's only guided me to where I think is exactly where I'm meant to be.
That's so cool. Yeah, I was talking to somebody recently and we were just talking about this, how there's all these, a lot of people, these like self-help gurus around, and they're like, do people consider you that? And I was like, I don't know. But all I know for sure is that the only type of teacher that I think is really worth listening to is a teacher that points you back to yourself as your teacher, a teacher that knows that like, I have nothing to teach you. You have everything to teach you. And I'm just going to create the space and the place and the structure for you to be able to discover the lessons that you have for yourself. And I think that your story about allowing these questions to percolate inside of you and allowing like, you know, the real true beliefs that you had that had you go back to drinking after experiencing, you know, a year's worth of happiness without it and then feeling stuck in it again is so profoundly, like, it just really demonstrates this idea that really your answers and your wisdom for you, what's true for you, it's inside you. And you just needed the space to discover that for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny that you're saying that because before the call, when I said, I'm like, I got a plan. And then I'm like, no, I just go with what I feel. But one of the things that I had written down was essentially like the answers are within, and everything that I had looked for externally was all within as well. What got me so off track was that I was going outside, I was going external. When I had it all along, I just forgot that I misplaced it. But yeah, even the answers, and that's what, again, but that's one of the things with This Naked Mind that it's like, I'll praise it from the rooftops because it's about finding what feels right for you. And that can't be wrong because it's what's right for you. It isn't this one size fits all. It's not this one approach. And exactly like you said, it's about guiding people to the answers that they have within, and whether that's within one conversation or like I said, laying in bed 2 weeks later, you gently let these thoughts go around. You become a detective to your thoughts. It's incredible what you can uncover just by observing and listening and not trying to shut everything out, not running away from it. And it's uncomfortable and it's scary. Like, there's a lot of discomfort. I also don't want to ever paint a picture that it's like, it was joy right away and amazing. I had a lot of days on the couch where I was like, oh my gosh. And when I was drinking, I remember seeing a video where you said it too, but I genuinely couldn't meet my eyes in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't meet my own eyes, let alone meeting somebody else's eyes, because it just brought so much shame. So to be in a compassion-based space where it's nothing but love, it's nothing but support, it's learning, it's growing, is amazing. And I remember I was a nanny, and one of the kids had asked me what I was doing. It was when I was doing the certification, and I explained it, and he said, oh, that's really cool. So like, if your mom was still around, you know, like you could help your mom. Mm-hmm. I just kind of stopped and I was like, oh, I was like, he doesn't, because, and it was such a simple question, but I was like, yeah. Because, you know, within grief, I have so much healing and so much acceptance and understanding, that it's just, again, it has become a gift to me. But it came up at one point in time, a couple of years after she passed, where I had this overwhelming amount of sadness, because I'm from a small town. And at that point in time, right, AA was the only thing. And in a small town, I could understand the fear associated with going, and just to be able to, again, spread a message or have a conversation where, like, that's isn't the only way. There is that compassion-based space where people, you know, can show up as your most authentic self and be met with nothing but support and compassion is amazing. And to be able to do it from the comfort of your home, if that's what's right or comfortable for you, is truly incredible. So yeah, I love being able to remove the shame. And I remember joining the alcohol experiment and going to type out, like, what I said to you, like, I lost jobs, all of, like, I hit bottoms, and I had to post in the alcohol experiment for over an hour and a half. And I was like, I'm not posting it. I can't do that. And then I posted it, and I was met with nothing but support. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like the arms were just wrapped around me, and being able to comfortably share these things. Like, I'm probably going to have a vulnerability hangover tomorrow, but being able to pop into those groups has allowed me to have conversations in everyday life and talk to people as my authentic self without fear of judgment, because it's gotten me to a place of complete acceptance. Mm-hmm. So again, like, when I talk about the message of This Naked Mind or the alcohol experiment or any of these things, just to have a space where people can comfortably share where they're at and know that judgment is off the table, it just expands so far beyond alcohol into a space of growth, and has just been nothing but a gift for me.
Oh, that's so awesome. So I have a few questions. So one of the things that you talk about really well is, you know, your own self-discovery of, like, your thinking hadn't changed. So your behavior had changed, and you had a really positive mindset about it, but ultimately, like, your thinking hadn't changed. So when the rubber hit the road, you didn't really have a new set of beliefs. And so you went back to drinking and then felt mm-hmm. really super stuck. And I know that one of the areas that we get pushback about This Naked Mind is people are like, you can't just change something with your thinking. It sounds too good to be true. It sounds as if it's wishful thinking. It sounds as if that's not really going to work. If you really have a problem, you know, we've heard it all. And I'm just curious, based on your experience, you know, what you would say to some of those objections.
So interesting. So I've thought about this throughout the day too, because by the end of my drinking, it was every day, all day, to the point I know the objections that you're speaking of. I don't think there's external change of behavior without internal change in you. And that can be, it's a combination of things for me to read and understand. So it's different layers. I mean, substance, society, self, for those who are familiar with this naked mind, right? But one, to know that, first of all, to help remove shame by realizing like you're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. Alcohol's doing what alcohol does. It's an addictive substance. Just to have that removed really helped with my sense of understanding. I think true fundamental change comes from within, and whatever the layer of self, whatever beliefs that you hold that have you going back to alcohol or thinking, you know, that there's some kind of benefit, when you're able to identify those beliefs and turn them around, it's this connection with yourself. You become an I will say it, you become an undeniable force. It is this feeling, and maybe it's because I didn't have true authentic confidence for most of my life. I had that external, yes, I'm confident. Internally, if I was always seeking approval and validation, I didn't have those pieces within. So when you're able to build those blocks and learn that information, you truly can build this foundation where you know that there's no benefit in it. And as you always say, right, without desire, there's no temptation. If you rewire all of that thinking, it's just not a thing. So to me, your thinking is an absolutely massive part of it, your mindset, and being able to shift from that space of feeling disempowered, or, you know, like how I said, I was the girl who couldn't or shouldn't, into the girl who doesn't want to or doesn't need to. I do think changing your thinking changes your direction entirely, and doesn't mean it's linear. And there might be beliefs that are beneath the surface that you have to, you know, keep digging. But yeah, I think it's an absolutely crucial part. And self-love, I've realized lately, is a bit of a hot topic. Like, so I've realized there's that wording, or it isn't for everyone, but I'll go with self-acceptance, I guess. For me to reach a place of self-acceptance, which it was all in changing my thinking and beliefs, and coming home to self, I don't look for anything outside of me. And if you don't look for anything outside of you, I think that all goes back to your thinking. And I think it's a absolutely massive part of it.
I love that. What it is, a great answer, Haley. So just for people who might not be familiar, when we look at thinking and beliefs around alcohol, we bucket it into three layers, which is your beliefs around the substance, which are things like alcohol relaxes me, alcohol helps me loosen up in the bedroom, alcohol makes things more fun. And we really look at those with sort of scientific studies and proof, not scary stuff, but just rewiring information to help rewire your thinking. And then there's another layer of beliefs, which is a little harder to access sometimes because we're such herd creatures, where we exist in community. And those are beliefs about society. So I'm not going to fit in, you know, I'm not going to be able to even society within the home, right? Family society, I've had my whole relationship is kind of built on drinking. How is my marriage going to change? All those beliefs. And so really looking into those. And then kind of the third most layer is beliefs around self. And those are the worthiness or the acceptance beliefs that keep us from drinking. You know, I'm not strong enough to get through the day without a glass of wine. I'm not a good enough mom. The things that keep us there. And in order to even have kind of the courage to be able to examine any of those beliefs, we have to be at a place of at least awakening some level of compassion and some level of acceptance of our behavior. And not acceptance of like, oh, I accept that I'm a problem and I need help. So not that kind of acceptance. Not acceptance of I'm an alcoholic, but acceptance of the fact that actually I have been doing the best I can with the tools I have. And I might be, you know, drinking a lot more than I want to, but it's actually not my fault. And I can pretty much take and prove that scientifically to anyone that it's not your fault. Factually, it is not your fault. Your brain is doing exactly what it's supposed to do. And there's circumstances beyond your control, but it is completely and 100% your responsibility once you see it. And I think that you're absolutely right. It comes from a shift in belief, and that's where the freedom is. So I won't argue that you can exist and live a quote sober life without having a belief shift. And I think this is why your story is so compelling, is because it's possible, right? And it's not always either long term, or it's not always the most pleasant thing. And we feel a lot of, we're still dealing with the guilt and the shame. And in order to change any of those beliefs, we have to put down that guilt and shame and blame, because if we're constantly just bad-mouthing ourselves in our mind, and we're on that roller coaster of guilting ourselves for our behavior, we don't have the capacity. We just don't even have the ability to hear the information that will ultimately rewire our belief systems. It's not even accessible to us. And so that's kind of in a nutshell how the whole thing breaks down, but really well said. Let me ask you, so then how did you decide to join the coaching certification?
Okay, so I admit, and I told you this before, like anytime I do a call or anything, I get like a really red rash. I was afraid of everything. Like I said, I stayed in things that weren't meant for me because I was too afraid to go out. So I saw the coaching certification. It came through because I was on the mailing list, and I was like immediately like drawn in. And then I was like, oh. And that's a that I was so much that person who'd be like, I know that's for me. And then the fears and the self-doubts. And I was like, I'll just, you know what? I'm gonna wait. And I think it was like a last chance email came in. And at that point in time, I was a nanny. And I absolutely love the family, and this energy that I was around was just like, I want to level up. I want to level up. I can do it. I can do it. And then I would still have my fears. So I think, yeah, it was like a last chance email. And I clicked, yep, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna join or do the interview. I knew based on the feeling the entire time when I got the emails, like I want to do this. I just had to get over the fear hurdle. And so I needed to be knocked with more than one reminder email because that's how I was at the time. And then yeah, did the interview, and it's just one of those weird things that like every step of the way I knew like this is where I'm meant to be going. I'm very much a believer of like synchronicity and signs, and after years of not listening to my intuition and not trusting it, and that absolutely not going well, ever since I started trusting it and leaning into it and just listening to my inner voice, it's always led me to where I'm supposed to be going. And even if it didn't lead me to where I'm supposed to be going, it's going to lead me into a lesson, which is going to put me, it's a redirection. Everything is a redirection. I think that was 2021. I'm really bad with dates, I will be fully honest. But I did the certification in 2021.
Awesome. That's amazing. That's so great.
Yeah.
Well, let's finish up with these two kind of final questions. First of all, if people want to find you and they're interested to learn about your coaching, where can they find you?
They can find me at livingovertheinfluence.com, and I have that on Instagram as well, which I just post living over the influence. Essentially, I think because I was under the influence of so many things for so long that I'm like, we can live over it. We can just, you can live completely free. So that is my website, and I'm on Instagram there as well.
Love that. It's great. And then if you were going to go back in time, Haley, to point in your life where you just felt a lot of blame and shame, and you felt a lot of fear and guilt, and you were going to tell that version of you what your life is like now, what would you say?
That's a hard one. As I said earlier, I remember distinctly, and when I think back to the feelings that I had, I can feel it. I can feel the pain. I can feel the guilt. I can feel where I felt it in my chest. And I would tell myself that that person that you can't look at in the mirror, I would ask you to raise your eyes and look at her, because she's going to end up becoming one of your greatest teachers. And it's hard to believe. It's really hard to believe, but you're going to be grateful for all of it. And there was a lot of moments where I thought I was being buried, or I felt like I was burying myself. And at every single point in time, it was like planting me so that I could bloom. Trusting that even though it feels insurmountable, that doesn't mean it is. And that's that.
Well, I love that so much. It's so great. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, by the way. This was amazing.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you're ready to see how This Naked Mind can help you on your personal health and wellness journey and want to learn more, go to thisnakedmindpodcast.com to learn what your next best step is. Again, that's thisnakedmindpodcast.com. We have all of our free resources, programs, social links, and more available for you there. Plus, if you have your own naked life story to share, you can submit it there as well. Until next week, stay curious.